You're listening to the Love is Black podcast.
We're the host of Fly.
The love is dope.
And the conversation's always 100.
Welcome to the Love is Black podcast. I'm Carice.
I'm Harvey.
And I don't think we did that last episode, actually.
We didn't mention our name?
I don't think we did do
We three seasons deep. They know
I
who
just
we
thought
is.
About that. That's very odd that that only came to me just now as we did it.
He's just comfortable. That's what it is.
Yes, but not too comfortable.
Except that we didn't say our name. So we can't do that again, though.
No.
Every time.
No. But tonight we're getting very comfortable.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. A few seconds ago, we were mentioning something about a rosé, you know?
Yes.
Comfortable, relaxed, slightly inebriated.
Oh, no. Nobody said inebriated.
I said it. Not I done utilized. Said it. I done said it.
Well, I am very excited. We have a very special guest, and I don't want to waste too much time. I talk to Harvey all the time. Y'all don't need to hear me talk to him. Let me tell you about our guest, because amongst many things, Taylor is a passionate erotic educator and sex goddess. I love that. Certified in both holistic aromatherapy and human behavior, with over a decade of experience in the natural skincare / cosmetic industry. Ms. Sparks launched organiclovin.com, one of the largest BIPOC-owned online intimacy shops. Organic Lovin specializes in improving adult sexual health and wellness, as well as enhancing their sex lives via their organic intimate body products, body-safe sex toys material, sex-positive books, and erotic educational seminars. Yes. They're there. They're
ready
with
to
us.
Go.
Ms. Sparks' expertise has contributed to articles in Bustle, Cosmopolitan, Glamour, Men's Health, Oprah, Shape, Women's Health magazines, and more. Taylor has become renowned in the adult travel industry and is a powerful public speaker both nationally and internationally. We are so blessed to have her tonight. Her flagship seminar entitled, wait for it, How to Make Good Pussy Better.
What?
Is extremely popular and focuses on the benefits of organic intimate body products and body safe sex toys. Social and environmentally conscious and a strong supporter in all things organic, natural, and eco-friendly, including love. Welcome, please, Ms. Taylor Sparks.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
Oh my.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, we're so happy to have you. Thank you for joining us. Okay.
So, you know, with this podcast, we've been talking about love and, you know, and relationships and all this.
Yes.
But, you know, obviously a part of love, a part of a good relationship is the sex.
We hope.
You know, the physical is the erotic. And we figured, you know, when it's time to get into that, we're going to find a professional. Somebody who knows what's up and can give us some info.
I know some things.
I don't think there's anybody better than Miss Sparks. So
there may be, but I'm the one with you right now.
Oh, you bet.
There's always somebody better in something. But I'm the one with you right now.
Yes. Fantastic. Okay, so there was a whole lot to unpack just with the bio. Can you just give us a touch as to how you got to where you are now, what got you into a lot of these holistic and organic sex products and just mastering this world of intimacy?
So a little over 10 years ago, I guess, a little more than 10 years ago, when my husband and I had moved down to North Carolina from Boston, what was supposed to be a great move turned out to be a shitty move. And can I say shitty? I'm sorry. I meant to mention I swear a lot. And it was just not a good transition financially. His job turned out not to be great. I was launching my corporate training company. I had been doing corporate training for a while for other companies. And I started making body products for the family because we was broke. And I started making like body butters and soaps and, you know, sending this stuff with the kids to day camp. And that ended up with me sending products to a girlfriend who was like, oh my God, I'm launching a store. I'd love to have your product. So I launched my company, Morning Indigo, which was basic body care products. And then at the age of 40, I decided to run my first marathon. I've since run 2 full marathons, 8 half marathons, a sprint triathlon, and a half Ironman. We won't be doing that shit anymore. It was harder and longer than both my labors combined.
Wow.
So I did that. So I had the fun and I did the racing, and then someone was like, oh, it would be great if you could make something for athletes. So my basic skincare line turned into my skincare for athletes tri-body product. So I ended up developing, I'm certified in both holistic aromatherapy and human behavior. And I ended up developing a line of 16 head-to-toe care products for elite endurance athletes. So we sponsored marathoners, triathletes, 5Ks, races. We actually sponsored 5 Olympic athletes, both summer and winter. Our products were in Muscle and Fitness Hers, and we were in the Golden Goggle Awards for our Olympic swimmers, gift bags. We were in the ESPN magazine, ESPY Awards. And I was trucking along doing that, but it was like a business that just would not, it was like a baby that would not get out of the crib. You know, it would like stand up and like, ah, I just can't. So I was throwing money at it. And right a little more than 5 years in, I guess, my husband and I started traveling to adult-only resorts like Hedonism. Have you been to Hedonism in Jamaica?
No.
Oh, girl, you gotta go. You gotta go. So it's an open lifestyle resort.
Okay.
It's not necessarily, people think it's a swingers resort, but it's not. It's an open lifestyle resort. So you could be monogamous, non-monogamous, swinging, kinky, gay. They don't care. They welcome everybody. And so we started going to the resort and hanging out with adults-only events. And then we decided to do our own events. We launched Growing Sexy Crew to produce our own adult-only resorts. And one of our first events, we were at the Desire Resort in Los Cabos, Mexico, which is now closed. But we were at Desire and we met a couple that turned out to live only 20 minutes from us in North Carolina. And they own luxury lifestyle vacation clubs. So they were like, hey, you guys are doing your events. We do events, you guys should become affiliates of ours, and then you could make some money. I'm like, make money? Yes. Free trips? Oh, hell yeah. So when we got back home, we met up and we started working with them. And about a year or so in, I was also working with the wife, speaking at her events. She had a breast cancer survivor foundation. So I went in to do some of my talks for women on women's health. And they hired me to do a private label line of sensual body, sensual massage oils and body washes. So we've been traveling with them and on a couple of cruises. And I noticed that on these cruises, the vendors that were on there carried a lot of products that were chemical based. And they really just weren't, and you know, really cheap, gelatious toys, they weren't that good. So I developed this line for them, launched the line, but when we launched it, we realized that we really did not have a place to sell it because they had a travel agency and I had a skincare for athletes company. So with some support from them and some love from them, I launched Organic Lovin'. It'll be 8 years this coming October. So I launched organiclovin.com, starting with their 4 products. And I'm no longer manufacturing products, but I started with their 4 products. But now we have over 1,000 products and we represent over 200 brands and we ship worldwide.
Wow, fantastic. So I think it should be obvious, but I guess it's not in some ways. What exactly do the chemicals do to our bodies? And why is it so important to use more organic, natural products?
So let's start with the skin, right? So the skin is porous. We know that because we sweat. And as adults, we put up to about 150 different chemicals on our body every day. Women more than men because we wear makeup and we do all this other stuff with our hair. The skin absorbs up to 60% of what you put on it. But we don't keep it, right? Because we sweat, we pee, we poop. So, but the cells in our body keep a smidgen, just a smidgen. And what happens over many, many years is something called bioaccumulation. So over the course of our lifetime, the body is constantly absorbing different chemicals. Now the vagina and the anus is covered in a mucous membrane. So 100% of what you put on it is absorbed into the bloodstream. Again, we don't keep it all because, you know, we sweat, we pee, we poop. But again, you have this factor called bioaccumulation. So a lot of the standard products on the market have chemicals in them, like a lot of your standard lubricants, let's start with lubricants, have things in them like glycerin. So glycerin, glucose and sucrose are derived from sugar. And when you put sugar in something dark and warm and wet, what do you get?
Fungus.
Yeast. Yeah. You start baking bread, is what I like to say. You start baking bread, but they put a lot of these sweeteners in the lubricant. Another thing that you'll find in lubricant is something called propylene glycol. It is the cousin to antifreeze. It's not antifreeze, but it's the cousin to antifreeze. You will find propylene glycol in many, many products, lotions, and dog food, in a lot of cosmetics. It's what its main purpose is to make wet things slippery. But propylene glycol is extremely drying to the vaginal tissues. So here you have propylene glycol and the possibility of being triggered for yeast in your lubricant that you're putting in your vagina that's being absorbed to the bloodstream, and it's making the vagina dry. And when the vagina gets dry, you have friction. And when you have friction, you end up with micro tears. And when you have micro tears, now the body is susceptible to everything you've been trying not to get, whether it's HPV or an STI or an STD. And so I always tell people, you know, lubricant is great and use lubricant all the time. You know, wetter is better, but propylene glycol, glycerin are just some of the things, alcohol. Dimethicone is silicone. It's a liquid silicone. Silicone is plastic, and plastic should not be in the body. Parabens, methyl parabens have been linked to every type of possible cancer that you can imagine, breast, cervical, uterine. It's been known to as an environmental toxin as well. And it's also, you'll find in lubricants, you'll find it in feminine body washes. So a lot of things that we put in the body is just not good. Flavored lubricants are not good because they tend to have glycerin or sucrose or glucose in them. And in my philosophy, pussy should taste like pussy, not cookies and cream, not bananas and chocolate chips. When your partner's finished going down, you want him to go, oh yeah, that's my baby right there. Now, you don't want him thinking about strawberries, you know? So that is why it is important not to put these chemicals. And the easiest way to know what's in your lubricant, of course, or your body washes, is to just read the ingredients on the back of the bottle or the back of the box before you purchase it. And it's like, if there's some words in it, if you can't read it, you don't need it. If you can't pronounce it, denounce it. It's chemical based. If it doesn't say essential oil of, you don't need it. Anything that says the words fragrance, it's a chemical makeup. And in this country, in the USA, a lot of chemicals have been grandfathered in. And by law, the manufacturer does not have to tell you what the chemical makeup is of fragrance. I'm giving air quotes for fragrance. So you don't know what it is that could be triggering itchy, scratching, burning. This is why there are so many things that the FDA considers GRAS, which is generally regarded as safe. So that means if thousands of people don't call the FDA with scratching, itching, burning, you know, 100 of y'all are just sensitive. So the disclaimer says, if you got scratching, itchy, burning, we suggest you stop using it. Mm. So there that is?
Yes, that was a good breakdown of that.
Wow, I learned a lot. Like, I'm a better man for hearing that.
The same is true for condoms. I mean, I don't know. I'm not asking for you to divulge your private lives, but for those who are single or those who are in open relationships and you're using condoms, your standard condoms have chemicals in the lubricant. We only sell vegan condoms on our site. So do you know the difference between a vegan condom and a standard condom?
Well, I would assume a vegan one is going to be more like, I was going to say latex based, but.
Yeah, it is. Well, I was going to say it's not a lettuce wrap. You can't eat it. So.
Like a lamb skin or like.
Yeah. It's not a lettuce wrap. You can't eat the vegan condoms. So the difference between a standard condom and a vegan condom. Vegan condoms are from a sustainable rubber tree. So they are still latex. So if you have a latex sensitivity or a latex allergy, which only 10% of the population actually has a latex allergy, you could not use a vegan condom because it is latex. It's just that the rubber tree is grown sustainably. Vegan condoms do not have a milk casein on them. If you open up a condom, a standard condom, and you see that powdery substance, milk casein, which comes from cows, the casein, that powdery substance, helps keep the rubber from sticking to itself. But if you have a lactose intolerance, which 75% of people of color, African-Americans, Latinos, Asian, Indians, have some form of latex intolerance. And it doesn't always mean that you get sick to your stomach. Just the milk casein itself, which is absorbed 100% into the vaginal tissues, could cause itching and burning and scratching. Your vegan condoms are also triple washed. So you ever open up a condom and it smells like a rubber tire? Oh my gosh. And you guys love to rip off the condom and go, here, suck that. We're going, I don't want to suck it. It's just like a rubber tire. Don't make me slip that thing in my mouth.
I've never said that.
Yes, you have. Suck it. Suck it. And then you don't want to kiss us because our mouth is like a rubber fucking tire. So don't give me that. Yeah. So the vegan condoms are triple wash. So they don't taste like a rubber tire. Also, the vegan condoms are not tested on animals.
Right.
So your standard condoms are tested on horses and sheep. Yeah. They don't use mice because their dicks are too little and they come too fast and, you know they can't seem to get the research. So, but yeah, they do horses and sheep. So vegan condoms are way better.
Tested them on animals. That's interesting.
Yeah. They horses and sheep, but not mice or rabbits. Well, rabbits.
I don't know whose job that is to put the condom on the horse, but it
doesn't
sound like a good job. Like that person's not getting paid enough. I don't know what they make. It's not enough.
Horses and sheep, I'm here to tell you.
But not on my resume.
That's why when guys are like, no, it's too tight. I'm like, don't give me that. It's been on a horse. You'll be okay. Okay. I don't like it. It's too tight. Like, you're not that fucking big. Okay. Jesus. Okay,
so that was a word for all the listeners.
Chill.
Rewind. Chill, listen to it again and let it process.
It's rubber. It stretches. You're not that big. Mm-hmm. And some of you all need to stop putting on the large condoms.
Magnums.
Because you're not that big. Wow. Use a standard, and we have all sizes. We even have the slim goodies, the slim fit for the slim goodies, you know, for the pencils.
Okay.
They come in all sizes, and we got you, boo. We got everything you need. Slim goodies, standard, and massive.
Yeah. And yeah, not like massive, but massive. Nice.
I've seen some pretty close in my job. Because we sell cock rings and I've done, you know, on the cruises that I work on and present my seminars on, I have a cock ring that has to be sized. So I do cock fittings.
Interesting. Okay, oh hey, so this is a nice natural transition because I was going to ask about, so next, after we've gotten through, you know, our intimate products that, you know, we're using, the sex toys, how does one choose one? Is it important, the materials that it's made out of? That same sort of line of questioning, I guess, with the care for the body. How does that go along for sex toys?
Yes, so sex toys, like shoes and your mattress, should cost a decent amount of money, whatever that is for you. You should buy the most you can afford when it comes to sex toys, because there are a lot of toys on the market that are made of gelatinous materials, and those, it's very rubbery, you know, like Jell-O. If you open the package and it has an odor to it, a lot of those toys have phthalates. Phthalates, which you will also find in plastic, which is why they tell you, for example, do not heat your food up in your Tupperware. And they are now, in the last 5 or 6 years, making plastics without phthalates, but a lot of phthalates are in plastic. And when it's heated in your microwave, or even you put warm, hot food in it, the phthalates leach into the food. The same thing if you put a rubbery, gelatinous toy into a 96 degree body, those phthalates are going to leach. And they also, like parabens, have been linked to numerous types of cancers. So you want to look for silicone, medical grade silicone, ABS plastic, because they are phthalate free, glass, preferably a glass that is similar to a Pyrex, something that's really, really thick and been tested, sustainable wood, and metal. The sustainable wood is, you know, polished and shined. There's no splinters. And metal. Metal toys are great. Metal and glass toys, of course, you can use for temperature play. You can put them in a warm glass of water to heat them up, or put them in the freezer, put them in a cold glass and ice water to make them chill, and they will retain the temperature for that. So it's it is really important that you look at what the toy is made of, because of the phthalates and the other chemicals that are on them. It's just not a place that you want to go cheap on. It's not good for the body at all. So
that seems like a good time to spend a little money.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, we have well-made toys. So think of, when you think of the car dealership, Toyota, that also owns the Lexus brand. Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are toy companies, like companies who make Womanizer. WOW Technology also owns the brand Romp. And everything on Romp is under $50.
Wow.
But they're the same company that makes the $200 Womanizer. So they have made a less expensive version. So it may not have all the bells and whistles of the Womanizer, but it is still a quality product. So we do have products on there on our site, you know, that you can find for $50, $40. I do curate everything on the site. I will call up a company and find, if I can't find the ingredients and a lubricant on their site, I will call them and say, what is in this? How come your ingredients are not on your site? You see. And have even gotten into arguments with the manufacturers. I'm like, you don't need to have this stuff. So just one more thing I want to mention regarding lubricant or stimulants. We have clitoral stimulants. You have products that are to stimulate for men that are topical that can help him to get an erection. Some stimulants for women, I don't carry it on my site, but you might see it elsewhere, will have L-arginine in it. So L-arginine is an amino acid that's in the body, and it's in food. Mm-hmm. So it's natural, but if you have herpes 1 or 2, simplex 1 or 2, L-arginine could trigger an outbreak for you. So not knowing how much L-arginine and how sensitive you are to L-arginine based on what type of herpes you may have, you could be using a lubricant or a stimulant with L-arginine in it that could actually be triggering an outbreak for you. So this is why it's really vital and important to read your ingredients and know what does this ingredient do and what could it possibly do to me. Everybody's body is different. Every woman who uses a lubricant with glycerin in it is not going to necessarily be triggered to have a yeast infection. But if you're ultra sensitive or you're prone to yeast infections, you need to be careful for your body washes. You need to also be even careful for your laundry detergent. Because if you're using a standard laundry detergent, with, you know, it's leaving a film on your clothing, on your underwear, on your thongs, and you keep getting triggered and you cannot figure out why. So switch your laundry detergent. It doesn't have to be organic, but you want to go something fragrance-free and dye-free.
I love it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of information.
I know, I'm going to have to change some things.
I know.
Yeah.
We go shopping after this recording.
I will give you a code.
So I have a question. So you obviously you have a great selection of toys and such. I just wanted to kind of step back in that. Do you get to talk to people who are leery of getting these kind of toys? A lot of relationships, I think it requires a lot to want to introduce something into a relationship, into a sexual relationship. Do you deal with people like that? Do you talk to people to kind of comfort them, to make them more comfortable? Because I imagine this might be a thing for some men, bringing in a toy for women. So talk to that if you can.
Yeah, so starting with men who are feeling some kind of way, I think most of the men who feel some kind of way about toys, the one toy they have in their mind is the one that looks like a penis. And it's like, I don't need another dick in bed with me. But there are so many other types of toys that don't have the phallic shape. So that's one thing, right? That the woman could introduce. You can do a bullet, which is just something small that stimulates the clitoris that is not phallic shape. But one thing I want men to know, and when I'm at events and we are in person, it's easier to do, so I will explain it to you here, because I do it physically to the men when I'm at an event. So one thing I want men to know is that a sex toy will never, ever, ever hug me. A sex toy will never, ever whisper in my ear, "I love you. Turn over. Stick your ass in." A sex toy will never, ever take out the fucking trash. So the sex toy really is your wingman. Those nights when she's going longer than you can go, bring in the toy, bring in your wingman. If you know you kind of tired, start with the toy to get her an orgasm or two, if she's multi-orgasmic, right? To give her an orgasm or two, and then you come in, finish her off. You know, you don't have to work as hard. The toy literally is your wingman. The sex toy will never do what you can do. And it's not meant to do what you can do. It's a toy. That's all it is. It's a freaking toy. As I said, it'll never hold me, hug me, tell me it loves me. Yes, it can do some kind of crazy vibrations, but it's not the human touch. Even the ones that feel like it, it doesn't breathe on me. You see, you know, I don't have that hot breath on the back of my neck. So yes, the toy has its place, but for the men, literally it is your wing man. If you're not, let's say for men or even for women who are with women, let's say, you know, oral sex on the giving side, it's not your best thing or you don't enjoy it as much. There are toys that you can put in place, let it do its thing, and then you come in with the penetration. So consider it your partner in crime. You know, it takes over when you're tired, or it starts off when you're tired, or it can finish off. There have been many times where my husband and I have had, or my partners and I, because I'm falling, have had like long, long sessions. And I'm like, okay, that was great. That was amazing. That was 3 hours. That was wonderful. Woo. Okay. You're good. He's good. I'm good. I'm good. And then I'm laying there and I'm like, I think I got one stuck in the chamber. I was like, what? I was like, I just need like one more little orgasm before I can go to sleep. But he's like, I got nothing left. I got nothing left. I'm like, it's okay. I just need you to kiss me and play with my boobs while I play with the bullet. This is only going to take a minute. Zzz, boom. We're done. We both go to sleep. So it is good. So for women who may be somewhat intimidated about how do I start with a toy? What toy do I get? There's so many things. If you've already been having sex with your partner, think about what you like. Do you like clitoral stimulation or external stimulation? Or do you prefer internal stimulation, right? Vaginal, something penetrating you, whether it's fingers or penis. What do you like? Start with that. And then you'll look for toys that do that. So if you prefer clitoral stimulation, you're going to look for clitoral stimulating toys. You know, there are bullets, you know, that vibrate. There are toys that suck, right? You have the new air technology is amazing. So if you like when someone sucks on the clitoris, you could get that type of toy. If you like when your partner puts their fingers in your vagina or the penetrative sex and not so much the clitoral, then you'll look for vibrators that are large enough for inserting into the vagina. And then it becomes what type of vibration you like, because you have really buzzy, like, then you have really rumbly, like, so then you have to figure out, okay, when I'm having sex, and if, you know, is this, are we doing more when I like when they're sucking, or are they humming on my vagina? Are they humming on my vagina? Are they ABCing on my vagina? So look to what you already enjoy and try to find a toy that's similar to that. And then you have toys. Laura DiCarlo, I know the audience can't see it, but you can you see that?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the Laura DiCarlo, it has both the airflow technology and it has the penetration. So it does both at the same time. So if you like when your partner is stimulating your clitoris and putting your finger at the same time, there are toys that do both at the same time, which is amazing.
Because then no end.
Technology.
No, really.
No, it's sex. Yeah, I know. I say that. Like, yeah, it's amazing. You know,
sex tech. Yeah, sex tech has come a long, long way. This is the OC2.
Oh, wow.
The best thing about, so you have the air technology, right? But the thing about it is this, the arm is flexible because every woman's body,
it's different.
Or every vulva owner, right? Body is different. So you could, it might fit me like that, and it might fit you like that. So the arm is flexible. So this moves, this part here moves. I don't know if this one is charged. Yeah, it is. So I don't know if you can hear this.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. So that's the, so it's not necessarily, it's kind of sucking technology, but it's more of a flutter, like a flutter on the clitoris. And then this part moves on the G-spot. Okay. She is clutching her pearls, ladies and gentlemen. She just clutched her pearls. So, you have both things happening so this is on the clitoris with the flutter, the air technology, and this is on the G-spot, and you could increase it.
Yes, I hear it.
Wow.
Oh yeah. there's a party going on here.
That's something you give a name to and keep on the side of the bed.
Yeah, well, it's called the Osei too. It no, actually it won an award at the CES award, the CES conference that happened in Vegas every year for the electronic show, uh-huh. Consumer Electronic Show. It was there. They had filed their application. We'd like to present this product. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can do it. We'd love to have you guys here, you know, over in the back in the booth in the corner in the dark somewhere. They won for most innovative product. And then 2 months later, they rescinded the award, calling it vulgar and that sex toys were not allowed at this conference.
That is terrible.
Well, the woman, this Laura DiCarlo, is a woman who owns the brand, so smart. She went back and forth with email with them and said, yeah, but we filed the application, knew what it was before we got there. Mm-hmm. And what about the men who have the sex dolls mm-hmm. on the floor and all these products for erectile dysfunction? We'll talk about those. I have some products for those too mm-hmm. that are on the floor. Yeah, but no. And they were like, no, you cannot, and we're not giving it to you. And after she gathered all that information, she launched a massive PR campaign against the conference about their sexism, against women's healthcare product, health product, sexual health and wellness, and men. Well, after every major network and magazine in New York picked it up, they were like, well, you know, they got the award back, and you know.
Yes.
And then they were like, well, you know what? We'd love to have you come be on our board. So I don't want to be on your board. Mm-hmm. What I want you to do is open up the floor to all of these products for women-owned sexual health and wellness products for everybody. I didn't kick the door open. We're all coming in now. So
yeah.
Yeah. So it's an amazing product. It's like, but the results are like, huh?
I can imagine. I'll be looking.
I'll be looking.
She already got the website up. I know she's already playing.
So it's good.
Okay. So we said we were going to get into the erectile dysfunction. Let's just hop on in.
Might as well. Let's
talk. Well, yeah. So yes, we sell sex toys, but a number of our products are not only meant for a happy ending. Some of our products were developed to help men with their own sexual challenges. There's a product called, by the company Hot Octopus, is a product called Pulse. And it was originally designed for men with spinal cord injuries who were doing in vitro fertilization with their wives. And this particular product has a oscillating plate that stimulates the frenulum, the underside of the head of the penis, to help the men get an erection so that they could then ejaculate and they could collect the sperm. It was a less invasive way. And when they realized this was really happening and the men were having such a good time, they redesigned it for everybody. So I have clients that have Parkinson's disease. And they, because of the medications they're on, they cannot take things like Cialis and Viagra. And they have had issues getting an erection. So they were able to use this Pulse product that could help them get an erection. Once they were erect, they were fine. So this is one of the only things they can use to actually get an erection. And it was a natural way to get the erection. The Pulse is also designed that the Pulse Deuce or the Pulse Solo for them to use, can use as a masturbator. It's waterproof. It has like 7 or 8 vibration modes. You can use it as it is, just put it on the base of the penis and then, nearby, put it on the base of the penis and then it could bring you to orgasm because it can also be used hands-free. So those people who have disabilities and or may have mobility issues, their helper, their partner could actually put this on them for them to masturbate hands-free. The Lux comes with a remote control. So your partner could control how much vibration that you have. And the Duo has a separate motor on the top so that your wife, your female partner could straddle you and be for foreplay. So you have vibration that you control on one side and she has the vibration that she can control on the other, on the top side. So it's a good for foreplay. I always tell men, like, I know that your woman would never ever deny you sex. But the next time she's pissed at you and she don't want to give you that, I'd be like, it's okay, I got my own toy now. I don't need you either. Go on in the room. You, this could be in you, girl, but no, I got my own toy now. I got my, because I call it the vibrator. It's the world's first vibrator for men. Oh. So another toy, which is not a toy, is the cock ring.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've ever used a cock ring before.
No.
I talked about it,
but we had no idea what.
Yeah. So the purpose of a cock ring is to keep the blood in the penis so the penis stays harder longer. So there are some that are flexible, like a kind of like a tie, right? It has like, it's just flexible silicone. It's got like a little loop on the end and you push it so it's snug and it goes around the base of the penis after you are erect. And it helps you. So you don't want it too tight. You don't want it, because if it turns blue, it's gonna fall off. So you don't want it tight, right? So you want it snug. So it will help you maintain an erection longer. So cock rings, I have a client who had prostate cancer who doesn't have a problem getting erect, but has challenges staying erect. So putting on the cock ring once erect can help him to keep that erection longer. So there are several, and there are also some on our site that vibrate, and there are some that are sized that also are kind of shaped, kind of like an oval shape, and has a, like a little nodule at the base that helps to stimulate the perineum, the space under the balls, you know, also known in the South as the taint. And they call it the tank because it tank the ass and it tank the balls. Is that little space in the middle that you like when she do like this?
I never knew that's where that came from. Well, that's really it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The tank. Yeah. Some people say because it tank the ass and it tank pussy. Yeah, but I said it tank the balls and it tank the ass. Is that little space right there in the middle? So okay. It's called the tank. So it'll stimulate the tank and will give the man a much more intense orgasm when that is stimulating. So cock rings are really good to help maintain erections. And then we also have a product on our site called MyHixel. I'm actually doing a special on that right now. The MyHixel is to help men that have premature ejaculations. It has an app that you put on your phone, and you put your penis in it, and it kind of simulates the moves of the vagina, and it has kind of a game that you play that when you're getting close to erection, close to ejaculation, excuse me, that you kind of stop and pull out. So this helps you get further and further along with maintaining an erection without ejaculating. So the MyHixel is really good for men who have premature ejaculation and want to know how to last longer in bed with their partners. So it's so there are a lot of great, sexual technology has come a long way to help both men and women in having better sexual health and wellness. And who doesn't want to have good, great, freaking sex all the time, every day for 3 hours? Okay, I'm sorry. That may just be me.
I don't know about every day now.
No, not every day. You're not an every day girl.
Every day.
Different show. I'm an every day, morning, noon, and night girl, which is why I'm a sex goddess. I'm like, you have to be healthy if you come here. You can. And I'm over 40. So you ever see that meme, how to have sex with women over 40? Stretch, bring snacks, hydrate.
Okay. Still got a few years, but now I know. I got it. Oh, far, far from that number.
We have great books on the site on sexual health and wellness. Also, there's a book called The Penis Book you might like to read, sir.
Okay. okay, I feel like it's a problem. You about to spend a lot.
No, it's not a problem. Yeah, we got books on sexual health and wellness, relationships, BDSM, monogamy, infidelity, polyamory, kink, open threesomes. Mm-hmm. You name it. We have over 100 books on the website. Yeah, there's a lot, you know. There's a lot to know.
I feel like that's somewhat of a good segue because kind of we talk about, you know, sex and the toys and such. But if we want to talk about maybe, well, you mentioned polyamory. So do you want to kind of talk about that and kind of any misconceptions or
what people about polyamory? Make? Oh, God. Well, let's just talk about what it is and what it isn't, right? So polyamory falls under the umbrella of ethical non-monogamy. Within ethical non-monogamy, you have open relationships where two partners, three partners have decided that they will, you know, have sex with others, but they will set their own boundaries and or rules about what they'll do. A lot of times open relationships are don't ask, don't tell, right? Don't ask me no questions, we'll tell you no lies. And then you have those who are in the lifestyle or the swinger community, which has its own levels of people who swing, but people who are in the lifestyle are typically physically non-monogamous, but emotionally monogamous. So that could have, you know, both couples or swapping with two other couples, or maybe one partner plays and the other partner doesn't. Maybe only the female plays with females, or only the female plays with males and the other partner doesn't. So there are lots of variations in how one could swing or be in the lifestyle. And then you have polygamy, which is one husband and more than one wife. Primarily it's religious based, but sometimes not. Polyandry, which is one wife, more than one husband, which is sometimes cultural and religious based. There are still cultures in this world today in 2021 that practice polyandry, one wife, more than one husband. Polyamory, poly meaning many, amor meaning loves. To be polyamorous is to believe that you can love more than one person at a time. To have more than one romantic relationship with all parties knowing and consenting is to be polyamorous. Some people are polyamorous as a dating style, whereas they will date lots of people and everybody knows they're dating lots of people. And then they may find one person and settle down and kind of convert back to monogamy. And then you have people like myself and my partners, we are polyamorous as an orientation, kind of like bisexual or gay. As an orientation, I am polyamorous whether I have five partners, one partner, or no partners. I will always believe I can love more than one person at a time, and probably always will have more than one romantic relationship at a time. So and then within polyamory, there are variations. You know, you could be solo poly, you have hierarchy in polyamorous where the first person may have the opportunity or the ability to veto the second or third person coming in. You have a hierarchy that way. You have, you know, anarchy relationships where there's no rules, there's no boundaries. I love everybody. That's the way it is. So, there are lots to it. But polyamory does not always mean that just because you have a romantic relationship or you're intimate, that it is sexual. It is not always sexual. For example, I have been wanting to take salsa dancing for all of forever. And my husband for 23 years was like, I'm not going to do it. So in monogamy, if I have this guy that I meet and we start doing salsa lessons two or three nights a week, and we start doing salsa events and salsa clubs, in monogamy, your partner's like, why are you with this guy all the time? Now, he and I have no sexual connection, but we have an intimate relationship surrounding salsa dancing, and we have a love of salsa. And in monogamy, where you believe that your partner is supposed to be your everything, it could cause some stress in the relationship. But in fact, you know, monogamy as we know it today is really only about 150 years old. people got married contractually to expand family, to expand family wealth, to expand property and land, to stop wars by, you know, communities merging. It was not love-based. You know, your love and your focus was elsewhere. Love came a lot of times, but it was for other reasons. And as Christianity evolved, because in most religions and in most cultures, men were allowed to have more than one wives, polygamy, and in some cultures, women were allowed to have more than one husband. But as, you know, culture started to migrate and expand across the world, it was like, we don't want these men running off and finding other women. We want to keep them, stay in this town. We need you to fight and protect the city. You just need to have this one woman, stay your ass still. So Christianity started to expand with regards to having this basis with one, and you only need one. But for millennial, it was not that way. So I believe that polyamory, polygamy, polyandry, and even monogamy is a choice. You choose to be monogamous. There's absolutely nothing wrong with monogamy. I was monogamous out of the 25 years that we were married. We were monogamous the first 12. And then the second half, our relationship was open. So, and my husband never identified as polyamory. I identified polyamorous about 5 years into the open part of our relationship. And he was like, I'm like, I want a boyfriend. I want three boyfriends. He was like, wait, what? I want three boyfriends. He was like, I don't want to date anybody. I'm gonna get my pussy and come home. I don't want to date. So we had a poly, open, kinky, swinging relationship. So
that's interesting. You are a wealth of information. We did talk to a couple that is polyamorous, but what they found is that as they were beginning to come into the lifestyle, because they started out as well with monogamy, that there wasn't enough resources, at least for the Black community. They felt like a lot of what was out there was being put out there by different races.
Right. White people, you can say white people. We know they exist in this country. They know they're fucking here. White people, say it.
Okay, so yes. With the lack of information, you know, I think that it would be interesting to get your perspective as to where a young Black couple could go to look for more information, if that's something that they wanted to pursue, to figure out more about polyamory or any form of that spectrum.
Well, there is a Black and Poly group. There's a blackandpoly.com, and there's a Black and Poly Facebook group where you can talk and interact with lots of people, right? On my website, I have a good number of books on polyamory. More Than Two, in my opinion, is one of the most in-depth conversations and information you're going to have on polyamory currently until somebody comes up with something new. Because at the end of the day, you know, culturally, us Black folks, yeah, we do some things a little different. But at the end of the day, love is love, right? We put our own twist and our own spin on everything, but get the foundation of what polyamory is and then you put our spin on it. So we have books on polyamory. We have books on a book that's More Than Two. There's a book called When Someone You Love Is Polyamorous, because, and I did a post on this recently, because you're trying to figure out, what are these people thinking? Because you're wondering, what the hell are these thinking? What are they thinking about? I want another person in this relationship. You can barely deal with me. And so, When Someone You Love Is Polyamorous. There's a book on coming out polyamorous, how to come out to family, friends, coworkers. There's also a book on the polyamory breakup. So there are numerous books out there. I don't have this book near me. I can't see it from here. But on my site, if you just go to my site, go to the menu and go to the box and just put in poly, you'll get lots of references. So there are a number of books out there. But at the end of the day, you read the information, and what's going to have to happen is you and your partner sit down and go, okay, Now we have the information. What do we want to do? What's going to work for us? Because it's really between you and your partner what works for you and your partner or partners. No matter what the books say, you have to decide, oh, we're going to do that, or I ain't doing that shit. I don't care what the experts say. We're not doing that shit. It doesn't work for you. When you and your partner are in alignment, and if you haven't had a chance to speak with La Vida Loca, if you don't follow Avita Loca on Instagram, and all, she is a polyamorous coach. She is amazing, absolutely amazing. One of the things I had her on my podcast that she talked about was relationships are designed, relationships are structured and designed to serve the people in the relationship. And when things change, we should seek to change the structure of the relationship and not the people. What we tend to do is want to change the person. What you need to do, what you ought to do, what you should be doing, because I'm sick and tired of this shit. As opposed to figuring out, okay, what's working here? What works for you and I now? And then what's not working? So these three things don't work, but nine things work. And what people do is fight over these stupid three things because they want to have it their way. And they end up throwing out the entire relationship, throwing the baby out with the bathwater, instead of saying, maybe we should change the structure of our relationship so that we focus on what is good and what works. And these three things right here, maybe we don't do these things anymore together. Whatever that is. It could be salsa dancing, or it could be traveling, or it could be our libidos are so far mismatched that there's always a fight of how come I don't get more and how come you want more? It's not always the man's libido is higher. I know men whose woman's libido is higher. I traveled the world presenting on adult-only cruises, resorts, hotel takeovers, swinger conventions. In the last 8 years, I've been on 15 cruises, and I meet people of every configuration in their relationship. So it's not like, oh, the men always want more and the women, that's not it. From all the people I've met, it's almost 50-50. There's always somebody that, listen, she's insatiable. We come on these trips twice a year. I don't need to have sex with anybody but my woman, but her, she's running around this boat and she's getting all the dick and pussy that she can get. And I love her for that, because the one thing I learned in polyamory is that we are all responsible for our own happiness. Yeah. Nobody's going to make you happy. It's your responsibility to use your words and say to your partner, these are the needs that I need to get met. And just because you don't meet them doesn't mean that we have to break up. Doesn't mean there's something wrong with you or our relationship. We're all responsible for our own happiness and our own bullshit, because we all bring bullshit to the table.
Don't we? Some of us less than others.
Wow.
I don't say any names.
Yeah, because there's another person in this room, right?
But... We'll just have some. Well, there's three of us here, but I'm going to sip some wine. Not my monkey, not my circus. For the Latinos out there, no me mono, no me circo. This is Spanish. No me mono, no me circle. I don't know what to tell you.
So this has been a really interesting conversation. I would ask you, because you have such a wealth of experience with all of this, whether it's the toys and all the things you can use to kind of enhance the relationship. And obviously there are books and things to read. But given an opportunity to speak, just because poly is just something we've kind of gotten a lot of it this season, talking about it, maybe looking for people to discuss it with. If you could talk to somebody who's considering it, what tips, what advice would you give to somebody considering it?
Read, join the groups, ask questions. But most, read. my mother always said, anything you want to figure out, you can find it in the damn book. You know, why reinvent the wheel? Why run around out here just trying to figure it out when somebody has kind of figured out some shit for you, right? Yeah. Read, there's groups on Facebook and Instagram. And once you read, and if you are currently in a relationship, sit down and talk to your partner and go, okay. Because I was the one that talked to my husband about opening our relationship. It was my idea. He was like, is this a trick question? You're trying to see if I say yes, I want to have sex with other women so you can divorce me? This is a trick, isn't it? You're just trying to trap me. I'm like, no, I think we should have sex with other people. He's like, wait, what? But you really have to use your words. You have to sit down and talk to your partner and go, this is what I'm thinking. Now, that being said, you can read first before you decide to open that can of worms, because once you open the can, the worms do not go back in. You cannot unring that bell. You cannot unring the bell. But if you are polyamorous, even as a dating style, it's not going to go away because you put it under the bed. It's going to keep coming up in your head. You know, it'd be great. And people think that because you get married, because you're in a relationship, or because you turn 27 or 52 or 67, that you only just, you have fallen in love with this one person and you will never look at another person again. It's bullshit. We're human. We are going to have emotions. You're not going to, jealousy is not going to go away just because you decide to open a relationship. You're going to have, it's an emotion. Jealousy, insecurity, anger, happiness, sadness, love, what feels like love, infatuation, they all exist within us. Some of us have just learned to get off the floor and stop crying like a four-year-old and get up and go, wait a minute, I want to talk about this. I'm going to use my words. This thing that happened made me feel this way. How do we make the adjustment within the relationship so that we both get our needs met? And like I said, just because things are not aligned and you need to change the structure of the relationship, it doesn't mean you have to dissolve the relationship because you realize, fuck, I'm polyamorous. What am I going to do now? And people, in my opinion, there is nothing worth suffering over in this life. This is the only life you get. You get this one. Now, reincarnation may exist. We don't know, right? But let's say it does exist and you die and you come back as a leaf on a tree, you live 3 days and then that's it. You would have missed out on this entire human experience, the good, the bad, and the ugly of it, because you were afraid to live in the manner that you thought you wanted to live, or even to try to live in the manner that you thought you wanted to live. Life's too short for that shit. In my opinion, it's just too short. Open your mouth, use your words, ask for what you want. I don't care if it's a boy, a girl, two girls, three boys. I pre-COVID, I had my husband and three boyfriends, which was amazingly wonderful for me as a sex goddess. So, yeah.
Nice. I have enjoyed this conversation so much.
Me too.
Yeah. As we start to wrap up, I'd like to open up the floor for you to kind of ask what it is that you have going on now and how can our listeners, you know, get in touch with you or follow you or purchase any of the things that we talked about.
Well, you know, we should do a coupon code for your listeners.
That we should.
Sounds yes, good. We should. So why don't we do the coupon code? Let me write it down so I don't forget. Well, I won't forget. Why don't we do the coupon code LOVEIS10, right? LOVEIS10. LOVEIS10. And they will be able to get 10% off. When will this episode air? So I know when to.
Late October,
I would think. Yeah.
Okay. So we will put it up for, you know, a couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah.
And you'll I'll put it up, but you ping me. So when you ping me to go, it's going to go up. I'll make sure to activate the code in my site. So love is 10, the number 10 will give any of your listeners 10% off. Late October, early November, if this goes up before November, you got to check on my website. I will be in Miami for a hotel takeover, adults only. I will be there. It's just for a couple of nights. If anybody's going on the Bliss Cruise, that's coming up in November also. With my toys, I may be doing a poolside presentation there as well, which would be fun. It's adults only, clothing optional, in South Beach. Hella fun. But you can find me at organiclovin.com and on all social media under Organic Lovin, L-O-V-E-N. So I'm on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Pinterest. And yeah, you can find me anywhere. I'm everywhere. And then Sisters of Sexuality, our podcast is on Anchor, but you can just Google Sisters of Sexuality podcast. We're on all major podcast platforms as well.
Fantastic. So everybody go subscribe and go buy. Use the coupon code.
Yes. Christmas is coming. This will be right before the holidays. So definitely subscribe to the newsletter because we're going to have Black Friday specials, Cyber Monday specials. And we also have a subscription box service. So you could subscribe and get something either monthly or quarterly for the bodies you love to love.
Nice. I don't think I'm gonna wait that long, but
okay, you ain't got it. We're gonna get, you know, your code to be active for you right away.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for
being a part of this episode, for, you know, contributing to this platform and really for getting out so much information. I think there's not enough information, even though we live in the information age. Mm-hmm. Accurate information is king, and
yes,
has been a blessing.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to have been here, and I hope I said something that was helpful, because, you know, I like to talk a lot.
this whole episode was educational, so we appreciate you giving us your time. I have one last question for you to end.
Please.
I just, because she said it, tell me what you mean when you say you're a sex goddess.
And any woman could be a sex goddess, right? But some women are culinary goddesses, some women are horticultural goddesses, right? So as a sex goddess, I love absolutely everything about sex. Even the sex that I don't indulge in, right? I think everyone should have any kind of sex that they want, right? I also believe that sex is healing on both the giving and the receiving side. So for me as a sex, I was like, I don't care what kind of sex you're having. Are you enjoying it? Yeah. Ooh, do more, have more. All the time, every day. An orgasm a day, yes.
No. Orgasm a day, that's like a bumper sticker. Like, I love it.
I think there is a bumper sticker that says have an orgasm. Orgasms are like, they're de-stressing, they help you sleep, they clear up your skin, they give you feel good endorphins. Oh my God. And you don't have to have it with your partner. You can have it all on your own. Just, you know, you could use a sex toy. You can masturbate. You'd be like, you tired? It's all right. I got you.
I am obsessed with you. Absolutely obsessed. I like it. I love it. All right, Harvey. Mm-hmm. Any last questions?
Oh no, that's how you end. Okay, no, perfect. That's perfect.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have definitely comes to the conclusion that love is organic.
I like organic.
I think
organic. Yes, there we go.
Yes, love is organic. Love is many organic things.
But this good love is Black.
Thanks for listening to the Love is Black podcast.
Please help support the podcast by subscribing and leaving a review.
And connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Love is Black Podcast.
See you next week.